reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury the dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord Jesus. The readings today have about them a certain character. Character is basically that of being called. Elijah calls Elisha at the behest of God, and at the end of the gospel, Jesus is calling to follow him. But there's another element in the story, and I think it relates actually to that sense of being called. And that's the experience of the Samaritan village. One would have thought that since the word of Jesus, or his reputation, had certainly come throughout the whole area by the great works that he had done up in the Galilee area, great teaching, as well as all of the healings, one would have thought that the people in Samaria would have grasped or grabbed at the opportunity to have Jesus visit their village. But they can't let go of the past. They can't let go of the fact that he's on the way to Jerusalem. And there was this great battle that went on about where was the true place of worship. Was it Jerusalem, or was it in the area of Samaria? And so because he's on his way to Jerusalem, despite the fact that they knew everything about him, they decided, "No, you can't come into our village. We can't have you here." It's interesting, because in one sense, it's us. It's the world in which we live. Because we have our hang-ups that often cause us to close our eyes or to turn our back, or to, in a sense, put distance. And sometimes I wonder if when we do that, we're not just like the Samaritans who miss opportunity, who miss the opportunity of meeting Jesus in the various and sundry ways that he comes to us. Think of all of those people who are being turned away at the border. And you think of all the gifts that immigrants have brought to this country throughout the country's history. How many gifts are we turning our backs on when we close our doors in the way that we do? You think of those children in those detention camps. How many gifted children are there? How many children with great skills? Maybe skills in the area of helping us develop artificial intelligence, which can help us with so much of what are the challenges we face. But then we have to be afraid of artificial intelligence. At least that's what we're kind of told. It's amazing how much fear we live with, just like the Samaritans, how fearful they were of opening their door to Jesus. They might have to come to a recognition that there was something new happening. There was, in a sense, a new future unfolding before them. And yet, they refused. And you think of James and John, even though they were with Jesus, how much they were still rooted in the past. Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? Let's use violence to teach these people a lesson. Jesus' response, leave it alone, let's go to the next village. Maybe they'll come around. Maybe a new opportunity opens up the door. Luke is very, very clear in his gospel. He's talking always about time, not time in the sense of your wristwatch, but time about the age in which you're living, the time in which you're living, the epoch. And he's always focused on what Paul writes about in that second reading. He's focused on the fact that you live in the age of the Spirit because Jesus died and rose and has brought you to life in himself. He's drawn you into a new future, but he's drawn you into the life of God. And so Jesus is saying to us, go forward. Don't hold on to the past. It was good. It had its high points. It also had its low points. Let's be honest about it. He's saying, go forward. Go forward and build the kingdom. And to build the kingdom, you have to have confidence. And the confidence is that Jesus walks with us. That's why one of the most favorite phrases in Luke, both in the Gospel as well as in the Acts of the Apostles, one of his favorite phrases is on the way. Matter of fact, that was what the original community was called. The original community of believers was called people who are on the way. Because you're ever in a journey. And a journey means two things. Something is behind and something is in front. And if all you're going to do is keep looking at what's behind, you're never going to go forward into that future with all of its opportunities, with all of its challenges, with all of its opportunities for growth, for all of the opportunities, as Paul says so beautifully in that second reading, to promote and to practice the love of God. But you can only do that. You Jesus at your side. And that's why you have the gift of the Eucharist, once a week, maybe more often. Because in effect, the Eucharist is Jesus saying to you, you'll never walk alone. I walk with you. And because I walk with you, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of what comes your way. You don't have to be afraid of what the next hour will bring. For I'm with you, and you are with me. And in that is your hope. In that is your security. And that is the strength that gives us grace to be able to say to Jesus, yes, we're ready. We'll follow you. We'll follow you because we know there is an end to which we will all go. And that end is to be with you in eternity. We pray, God, give us that strength to be faithful, to walk with the Lord, and to not be afraid of the various ways the Lord reaches out to touch us, to not be afraid of the future to which God is continually calling us.